Which refers back to word, even if we were separation consideration, because granted it is the sacred case of consideration, and it is the earnest of our inheritance. And so, I would ask that each of us consider this very, very closely. I think that is number six there. I don't think I'm okay. If that's a problem, we don't need it. That's fine. It's interesting that Brother Pam referred to the idea. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 5 very quickly, please. Romans chapter 5. And notice, if you would, the particular idea. Verses 1 through, verse number 5. And consider, if you would, that idea that is presented there. It is that we're justified by faith, and that he presents the idea that we have access by this grace, the law, and so forth. Verse number 5, by the Holy Ghost, which is still dwelling in our hearts. Well, I would ask you to consider this particular thought. Now, thank you. I read questions of the Word of God on the 28th, that would be last night. And number 5, we ask him, according to your view of Romans 5:5, notice, his argument is that a spirit which sheds abroad in our hearts the love. The question is, according to that, to your view of Romans 5:5, how is the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost in the 21st century? Now, his view demands that the Holy Spirit sheds abroad the love of God in our hearts in the 21st century. Now, here is his answer. God expresses his love for us by giving us the Holy Spirit. Now, friends, that is no answer. I ask him, how does the Spirit of God, or how is the love of God shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost? And he said, it is when by the energy of the Holy Ghost. It is not spiritually. You don't feel it. You don't see it. And in your life, there is no visible manifestation that you have. It's just the idea, friends, that because God has given us his love, God expresses his love for us by giving us the Holy Ghost. Now, that's how the Holy Ghost stands abroad in our hearts, the love of God. Friends, the Holy Ghost sheds abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost by the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ from inspired men in the first century. And those inspired men who confirmed this message by the miraculous manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Here we understand that the Holy Spirit is on the shadow of any reason, of any doubt whatsoever. It is the preaching of inspired men by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Ultimately, the confirmation of this. And it can't be said in that sense that the Spirit of God still says, it still tells us about the love of God in our heart. But perhaps it is not the Holy Spirit himself, but it is the Spirit of God through the inspired Word as he works today. I want to see my chart number 68, please. Interestingly enough, I asked Brother Pat, and this is all up here. When I asked Brother Pat tonight, I took the passage or the same question that he asked me, did or was this dispensational? And I would refer to Luke chapter 11, 1 through verse number 13. Now, if you remember the job that we pointed out, that here he tells the Father gives them the Holy Ghost, or he and all the Spirit, to them that have him. Well, we have presented some arguments that indeed it is asking. Now, he left you with the impression that I am referring to prayer alone. I said it is translated prayer. It also means the basic idea of summoning or asking or entreating. And I have made that statement more than once in this particular argument. So, I want to see if that's true, if you would please, or wrong. Well, he presents this idea here, and he said, yes, all of this was dispensational except this right here. And I agree with him. He understood that the one like it, he would take the responsibility of saying that indeed all of it. Well, my friends, if I were to fall into his path, I would have to say, well, Brother Pat, you don't believe all of that. You're saying that all of that is dispensational. Now, friends, I understand. Brother Pat understands. If the Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, gives them to say no when it refers to the Holy Spirit in his revelatory and confirmatory office. But that doesn't mean that everything else in Matthew chapter Romans chapter 5 and verse 5 verses just as well. Brother Pat would not pray for that. I know that he would. Now, if we were to remove that particular question, I think we would both agree that that applies certainly to the 21st century Christian. But it is this, and it is all of this idea of giving the Holy Holy Spirit to fill that as him. Yes, I'm praying. You remember coming back to chapter 61, verse 1. We know the only general about how this was done. It is the idea that in Acts chapter 8, verse 15, their request is an example of Luke 11 and 13. You are to have for the Holy Spirit. I am that there is no miraculous gift that is under consideration. And the Holy Spirit, by the obvious proof of that miraculous, now we understand in Acts chapter 8 and verse number 15, when the people in the city of Samaria have obeyed the gospel, that they of the apostles came and laid their hands upon them. They prayed, and the Holy Spirit in his miraculous power was bestowed upon them. And so this idea of everyone who had spiritual gifts pray every time. Friends, I don't know exactly how the individuals who enjoy miraculous manifestations, I don't exactly know how in day-to-day life these particular things function. I do know that in one occasion, the Apostle Paul, and he says, "Timothy, I have left in Philippian city." I do know that. And I have often asked the question, "Paul, what did you heal Timothy?" I am sure I cannot prove it. It simply because it would not have fulfilled the office of confirmation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so, friends, as we look at this, if you ask, now, whether that is saying the Holy Spirit himself is in the 21st century, in the 21st century Christian, as a divine presence of deity in the blood, probably there's something else if we break this argument. Notice here, and this is the problem we have. Even if we have, therefore, anywhere according to this reading here in 1 John 5 and verse 24, well, if that fear means obedience, and that's the argument that he is making, then it also means the same thing in 1 John 5 and 15. And that feeling that God is weak, this is the consequence that if we obey anything according to him, he hears us. And so, the idea here of asking and receiving the Holy Spirit is summoning and requesting. For as John says, if we ask according to his will, in the first century, they could ask for the miraculous manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Would it be right for them that they could ask for that? I think you understand the basic thought that we are presenting here. Let's see John 14:16. Number 16, is that here? Is that your chart? I'm sorry. That's not my fault. That's my chart number 6. Okay, that's good. Well, friends, what the Greek word simply means, it is that famous word you heard from the then apostle Paul, the paraclete. Well, the idea that it's presented, and I have had time to read it back from here, but it is the same word, but the question whether it's right doesn't refer to exactly the same results. The act of the comforter of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, coming upon the apostles, and that's what happened in Acts 2. And they were those on the Spirit, well, that, as it were, who stood beside and helped them. Well, when we heard here in 1 John chapter 2, the verse number 1, we were here that crying is our advocate. Does it advocate in the same way? Why, absolutely not. Sure, it's the same word, but it doesn't mean the same office in respect to the same power and the same ability. Why refer to the miraculous love of the apostle in Acts 2? But as we look at 1 John 2 and 1, that certainly that is the advocate. Well, friends, if that is anything to do with the idea of 1 John 2 and 1 is not miraculous, if you think it is with that, and just the advocate today, then the alternative is he is going to be miraculous. Why is God miraculous? Yes, he's an advocate, but how does Christ function as an advocate? That's the question. How does the Holy Spirit function? Well, that takes us to Acts chapter 9 and verse 32. That's the very thing that Peter spoke by inspiration. And he claimed that indeed it was the Spirit as well as these individuals who were bearing witness. Okay, let's look at chart number 16, back up there. I'm sorry. R16. I'm sorry. my friend is presenting how I live here, and I have to go over this, and I have to go over this, and I don't know why he is not picking up on this. Friends, I'm maintaining that the events around the is that he's saying that, of course, Jesus didn't ask for it, it just happened. He said they were probably surprised. Well, I know some of them, being there, six men that came with the Apostle Peter, I know that they were at least, well, who else would have decided then? After Jesus continues to ask for it. Friends, that was a special, special thing. And it was to convince not Cornelius, not the Gentile, but to convince the Jews that God was going to accept the Gentile. That it was a one-time thing. Yes, it was the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's what inspiration said. Did they have the same power and authority in Acts 10 that they had in Acts 2? I have never maintained that. And if I left that impression, then certainly it was my mistake. But I never argued that. I'm just arguing, friends, that the gift of the Holy Spirit, that phrase, is found two times in the Bible, and both of them are in the realm of the miraculous. That's the point that I have made. Well, let's look, Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6 is the next one that I want to look to. Now, on your fingers in Romans chapter 18. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. Notice here, if you would, that the Apostle Paul is presenting the idea that Christ came to redeem those that were out of the law. And because you are sons, he said, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart. Cry, Abba, Father. That's Father, Father. Now, the Apostle Paul says the same thing is done over in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 15. Yes, he says, if men are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. But notice in this thought, if you would please, dear people, that indeed the Spirit of God leads you. Is again, or not again, unto fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption. And by that Spirit of adoption, you cry, Abba, Father. It is the Spirit of sonship that is under consideration. It's not the Holy Spirit, dear people. Yes, I understand that King James translator did translate this with a capital S. And I have found other occasions that I do not necessarily, when I did not capitalize, but maybe they should have. And certainly that's their idea. Brother Pat and I disagree with who the Spirit is here. But I want you to understand, beyond a shadow of doubt, that the Spirit that is under consideration here, I maintain it is not the Holy Spirit, it is not Him who cries, but it is the one who has the Spirit of sonship.